Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. Come on in, yes. I'm Robert Pulper.
All right, enough with that crap.
Worst impression ever.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
No, somebody put him in a tub of concrete.
Something like that.
Indeed. And while the host gets upstage, let me introduce you to the losers. And if you've watched Bragging Rights, you'll know why. First of all, the former champion, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
And the good news, I know who won the belt. Bad news, I'm not telling you.
And then the biggest loser, Jason Block.
You know, TNA gets desperate when they hire an out-of-work, out-of-shape, 56-year-old ex-game show host.
Ooh, Bob Eubanks?
No.
Where's the strangest place where you made Whoopi would get a 2.0? You know that.
Oh, it's with Rocket Khan in...
Kurt Angle, yes.
Yeah.
And there's Screw Your Boom.
Yeah, they...
Sadly, I do believe Hulkin would be a better game show host than Carney Wilson.
Yeah,
actually is a better game show host than Carney Wilson. And not speaking of Carney Wilson, we have the Fair Maiden, Nikki Haman.
WWE.com decided to get cute and had a section called WWE Zombies. Please insert your own Batista, Undertaker, or Great Khali joke here.
No, I got a better one. Where's the Sandman when you need him?
Oh, yeah.
drinking his head off, trying to forget.
No. However, good to know the zombie's getting work because of that gimmick. So good on him.
He works some indie dates in Jersey. He really does.
Yeah.
He actually works for the Fed I work for, NWS.
Yeah, it's Tim Arson, I believe, is his real name.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah,
really good guy.
Good guy. He did an interview for WrestleCraft. Sadly, it never aired because they lost the footage. Then we have, from Tuesday Night Taffy, we have the man himself.
On this this year's Halloween, it comforts me more than anything to know that the Armstrong curse still lives.
Nice.
Oh, I wish I had that theme to play right now. Then we have, from Thibodaux, Louisiana... dressed up as Rubies, Carl Schneer.
Oh, Lord. I'll tell you something, though. Hogan going to TNA is like me caring about a UFL game.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Now that there are some UFL teams that could take care of some NFL teams, I'm looking at you, St. Louis Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington Redskins, Detroit Lions, Seattle Seahawks.
Kansas City Chiefs.
No, the
Cleveland Browns.
Ooh,
yes,
the Browns,
died.
Definitely. New England Patriot. No, I'm getting drunk right now.
Oh, God.
And speaking of unstoppable people, here's VRM.
Oh, it's been a great day for me today. I passed my CCNA exam, and Chase Palachuk scored a goal in overtime to give RPI a 4-3 win over Union. Eat it, Schenectady. Eat it.
You sound like you've had a pop or two.
Unfortunately,
that's
I can't
drinking pop right now.
Unfortunately, I can't because I'm on benzos, and it probably sounds like that because my voice is shit from all the screaming and cheering I did.
Mm. All right.
So that happened.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean something that just came totally out of left field. And by out of left field, I mean way out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan strikes a deal with TNA alongside Eric Bischoff. And what happens, Jason? That's right, Jason. The whole internet wrestling thing goes to shit.
Yeah. Well, here's how it broke down. Tuesday afternoon, Hulk Hogan was in New York as part of his media tour for his new book, My Life Outside the Ring, a.k.a. How Many Lies I Can Tell the Public and They Will Buy It, or How Much Money I Can Get for My Divorce Fees. That one. Okay. So, all of a sudden, the Black Banner goes down, Hulk Hogan goes TNA. All right. Now,
a stretch by any means, but I'm confused yet interested.
Right. So the whole world goes nuts. Everyone's saying, is this going to be WCW 2000? Is he going to, because there's so many questions that could be asked. Is this going to be WCW 2000? What's his relationship with Vince Russo? What's his relationship with Dixie Carter? Who's he going to bring in? Is he going to screw over the younger talent? This quote will say it all. This is from Hulk Hogan telling Time Magazine, unquote. When I woke up and realized I should be my own man and be responsible for being happy, I realized I still have a lot to contribute to the wrestling business. And jumping into TNA and being a part of that company is huge. I have a chance to give back and help those young wrestlers who don't understand the business and the art form, unquote.
Brother.
So now, the question
brother.
Is... Oh, yes, brother. So, Robert, if I may pose this question to everybody... Who does this help? Who does this hurt? Good move, bad move. Robert, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Oddly enough, despite what most of these people are going to say, good move.
Really? Why?
I say good move because it gives them the name recognition. They have a recognizable name to the casual fans. Kurt Angle, while he may have been a name to some casual fans, of wrestling back in 2006, and Sting back in 2005, is not quite the caliber of a name that you get to Hulk Hogan. You bring in all those fans, and I'll give you an example of just even having his name and even having the announcement of TNA. Last week's ratings drew like a 1.0, and they weren't up against anything much. This week's ratings, up against, and listen carefully, the beginning of the NBA season, game two of the World Series, and several other sporting events, and top shows as CSI, whatever's on Fox on Thursday nights, which is probably nothing, and various newscasts around the country.
Flash forward.
Yeah, flash forward. It drew a 1.3.
Right.
So it added to its ratings by 33%.
Holy shit.
Yeah, 33% ratings increase. That's a good thing. Now, while that's good for short term, we need to see how this lasts 2 to 3 months from now. Does the rating average a 1.3, or does it average even higher? Now, here's the thing. We don't know what Hogan is going to do or what Eric Bischoff is going to do. However, we do sort of know what Eric Bischoff is going to do. He's helping them bolster their production since he signed on to help out TNA as well. And also probably some hefty paycheck through Dixie Carter.
Before you continue, by production you mean like actual production of shows, like television production type deal?
Yes. Exactly.
All
right.
As
go
they're working
on...
Have
any more to the back.
As they're working on to get a second show on Monday nights, now, before anybody blows a gasket or anything, listen to the time slot. It's they're working on 8 to 10 p.m. Remind you of a certain time slot, anybody? Yep.
Nitro. perhaps.
Nitro. That's the exact same time slot that Nitro had. Now, that's a good thing. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing by any stretch of the means. I think that's a good time slot because on Monday nights, 8 o'clock, the only thing you're really competing up against is CBS's...
Monday Night Football.
They're saying it's going to debut in January, so it's after Monday Night Football ends.
All right.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to try
to... So I'm going to say I'm cautiously optimistic on this. Can it work? I think if they have all their ducks in a row, it can work. But as we've seen with TNA before, they've known to drop the ball major big time on several other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go around the table. Let's go with
VRM.
I've not been paying attention to wrestling this week. I've been diving into my homework because that's where it needs to be because I was probably studying for the CCNA exam approximately 30 hours this week just for the one exam. So, yeah, my brain is fried on RPI stuff right now, so don't
All right, we'll pass on you. Nikki, what do you think?
Ask.
I agree with Rob that this is going to be a temporary boost. But Hogan is Hogan. And he is given full creative control. And whether he has the book or not, something he said on Bubba the Love Sponge saying that he's going to get the book. If he gets the book, it's over.
I think that's a work. I really do think that's a work.
I really hope it's a work because that would be the biggest, that would be a huge mistake. The time quote really puts me off because Hogan does the same thing in every single match. What does he know about storytelling? And Eric Bischoff, I have a huge respect for him and what he tried to do with WCW, including at the very end. But him and Hogan are buddies, and I just pray to God that neither one of them has it go all the way to their heads. I personally, deep down, see this as five steps back. They've finally gotten rid of all the 40-year-olds at the top of the tier. They were going to start pushing the younger talent. Then you bring in the biggest wrestler ever known. That is a huge shadow that you just over AJ, Joe, Daniels, Amazing Red, all those guys that have been busting their asses with Hogan there. What the hell are you supposed to do?
It's like he sucks his air out of the room. Carl, what do you think?
It's mixed feelings till my end here. It's like you go back in the past of all parties involved, and you say, I don't know if this could work, and how he's going to do that, and how they're going to do that. What I'm going to think about is maybe take it day by day and see what actually does happen, rather than saying good idea or bad idea, because this would be very interesting to see what does happen with all this and all that, and, you know.
Josh?
To be honest, Nikki's dead right. I feel that the young guys are going to get completely overshadowed, especially if any of Hogan's friends from the Australian Hulkamania tour decide that they want to step in the ring for TNA. Savage, Flair, sure, they're big names and all, but that's just completely defeating the point of having young people a different style because Flair, Savage, Hogan, they've been in both companies for multiple years. It would just be the same old, and to be honest, I want something new, something fresh. And Hogan is the complete opposite for me.
See, that's a very, very interesting question because we all know that TNA fans are not even close to Hogan fans.
Right.
And none of them have taken to the old guys well. The only person who's really succeeded somewhat is Nash.
Absolutely.
To a degree.
I'll give you Sting as well.
Yeah.
Okay. But you remember, Sting worked.
Yep.
Legitimately worked, as in wrestled. You know, he's 50, but he can wrestle like 30.
Yes.
Okay.
So go.
At times. Hogan's 45. Hogan's 57 and wrestles like he's 70.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's been wrestling like he's 70 since 1992.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how they make Hogan, because the best. All right, I'll ask you guys a question, a little round table thing here, because give us about another maybe 10 minutes, Robert, if that's okay, or do we need a little more time?
Five at best.
Five at best. Okay. Quickly around the room, how would you use him? If you were Dixie Carter, how would you use him? Quickly.
I would put him on sort of like as a mentor to the young talent. Not only that, this might sound scary. I put him on the booking team.
You are freaking nuts.
Wow. Hold it.
You're crazy. Absolutely not.
No
way.
I'm not nuts, and here's why. Hogan does have a good head for the business. That explains why he's been around wrestling for the past 35 years.
He doesn't have a good thing for the wrestling business, and you know it. The only person who he has a good wrestling for is him.
Can I finish, please?
Sorry. Go ahead.
After seeing what's been going on in the world, he's experienced a whole bunch of failures in his life. And since, as you know, he is buddy-buddy with a few people, you know who's going to benefit from this probably the most, and you guys don't even recognize it.
Vincent Russo?
No.
Kevin Nash?
Matt Morgan is going to benefit from this. We
I
all forget one little thing. Who was he buddy? Hogan and Morgan were buddied together for Gladiators, and he always treats his friends well. Morgan
mm-hmm.
and Hogan are buddies. And another person who's going to benefit from this is Kong, since Awesome Kong and Hogan have been buddy-buddy for the past few days as well. So don't be surprised if you see Morgan somehow become TNA World Champion, Kong regain her Knockouts title, Hogan doesn't even wrestle for any title. He'll just be there as like sort of the attraction of sorts to help draw buy rates, and also knows what buttons to press when it comes to people. Maybe if you're going to bring him an on-screen role, maybe have him as sort of like a mentor slash the commissioner of TNA.
Then what
God
you do is Foley.
Another on-screen official.
Yeah.
Listen, Foley hasn't been doing much of anything these past few weeks. He's been having his little feud with Abyss. So remember that.
Okay. If I were booking Hogan, I'd do something totally different. Number one, he wouldn't sniff the creative book as far as I could throw him. Okay? Number two, I would put him as sort of a heel role as a member of the Main Event Mafia.
Which is dead.
Yeah.
But I would reform it. With him there, as sort of the true godfather of wrestling, something like that. Have him be the spokesperson for another stable, something to that effect, and put him as a heel role because people aren't going to cheer him. So that's the way I would do it. Anybody else?
No comment.
We have no more time. Jason,
I think Brown has killed
right.
it all.
We have no more time, and we need to move on to what could be described as we had the past ghouls. Now let's talk to the present ghosts, and those present ghosts result in our epic failure that was our predictions for bragging rights.
You're not kidding.
Oh, I just got tricked badly.
Yeah.
Looking at the scores, Jason, you'd probably welcome a trip right now.
The word is, I got a rock.
No, you got less than a rock.
Yep, you got a jar of dirt.
No, Jason, it's cabbage night. You got TP'd, egged, cabbaged, the works.
Cabbaged. Cabbaged? Okay.
They do it in Jersey.
All right, fine.
Well, since I'm not in Jersey, I'm not even going to ask what that means. Josh came in, actually, with the title. Let's go over the results pretty quickly. And for Homespun, she was their information. After I tell the results, Nikki will explain what happened. Okay, Nikki?
Which part?
All the matches.
All right.
We start off with, we're going to do two parts, actually. I combined the scores for the first two matches. First of all, we have what started out as the beginning, a bragging rights match between John Morrison and The Miz.
Yeah, how'd this one work out for everybody?
All right.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's also continue on with this. The turning point was John Morrison. The ending point, actually, was when John Morrison went for Starship Pain, Miz jiggled the rope, John Morrison landed on his neck.
Well, he appears to be fine because he looked okay wrestling tonight.
Look, well, I think it was more like a stinger, actually. And usually after a stinger, you get up and you continue on, I do believe. Is that right?
Yeah, a stinger, it's temporary.
Yeah. So, Typho was the only one to get that one right. Good on you, Typho.
Mm-hmm.
Good one for you. I give you props. Good call.
Yeah.
And then we get to the Divas match. Or Bathroom Break Part 1.
Yeah.
Now, it really wasn't that bad. The only bad spot was a corner spot that Melina slipped.
Okay. Remind you of anybody?
I'm sorry?
Remind you of the corner spot that pretty much put somebody out of action?
Was it Candice Michelle?
Yep.
Yeah, but Candice Michelle was made of glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's the Glass Joe of the world wrestling of World Wrestling Entertainment at the time.
The Glass Jane, the Glass Joe's Kennedy.
No. Kennedy was pretty much the Von Kaiser of the group.
Oui. Painful.
Yeah. Team SmackDown won this one. Beth Phoenix pinned Melina. Thank you. So, the results after two were Josh 1, Jason 0, Typho 2, DJ 1, Nikki 1, Carl none, VRM 1, and me 2. Then we get to the Fatal 4-Way. This was in a cage, right, Nikki? Hell in a Cell?
No. This was a straight Fatal 4-Way.
A straight Fatal 4-Way, okay.
This was a straight-up Fatal 4-Way. And this match did not stop, which made it even all the more awesome. Undertaker looked very good in his outing. He did not look shaky like he did in Hell in a Cell. He was very solid in his motions. I mean, he did two separate old schools. Well, the second one on Ray didn't go off, but he was steady on the rope.
Mm-hmm.
He looked great. And when the dust settled, he got to walk away with the belt, and Punk ran for his life, and Rey Mysterio wished he had.
Whoops.
He got his head knocked off.
He's pulling with the...
Mm-hmm.
As I told everybody, Dave, smash, puny, luchador. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's because Batista got pinned, which nobody... Well, I take that back. VRM had Batista getting pinned.
Nice job.
I had Undertaker winning. So, after...
I had Undertaker winning.
Yeah. Who had Undertaker winning?
I had Undertaker winning, because I remember I said Undertaker wins, and then when I said Taker went over Ray,
yeah,
and then I remember.
I knew it was one of the two. After three, VRM had two, Carl had zilch, Nikki had one, DJ had one, Typo had two, Jason had zero, Josh had one, and I'm in the lead with three.
I thought I was getting one for the turn.
Yeah. So, fourth match was the big bragging rights match.
Mm-hmm.
Seven-man tag.
I tell you what, I'd rather have been on the lower level for this one because half of my pictures are shots at Big Show's ass.
Oh, God. No wonder why your legs didn't break.
If Mark Henry was standing there.
That's worse.
Boy.
Sorry.
Actually, I can only think of one person that would be worse.
A few.
You don't work no more.
Ashton Booger.
I'm going to say Rikishi.
Oh. So, fast forward to the end of the match. Kingston's about to
lash
on Jericho.
Okay.
Okay.
You see the Big Show motion to him. Go on, splash him, splash him. Guzzle.
No.
Slam.
No.
Move.
Damn it.
Jericho pins Kofi. SmackDown wins the gold.
But there's a little caveat that Jericho didn't know about.
We'll get
that gets later. Not yet. Save that for later.
Running low.
So after four, and I'm reading this off how I IM'd it to Carl. Josh 1, Jason fail. Typo 2, DJ 3, Nikki 1, Carl fail. VRM 2, and me 3.
I should add 2, but that's okay.
We are going to give you a sympathy point for actually predicting correctly the Big Show swerve. So you actually have 2.
Oh, you're giving me that one. Okay.
But it doesn't really matter.
I know it doesn't, but I don't.
Because then we had the Orton Cena Iron Man match.
Youch.
Which I heard was pretty good.
Now, admittedly, I missed the first 25 minutes of it because we were all moaning and groaning about this. So I got up, I went and hit the souvenir stand. I took a picture of the souvenir stand. There were 30 people at the first one I went to. That was 5 minutes into the match.
Wow.
Refreshment stands were already closing down because, this is the last match of the night. Nobody's going to get drinks this late. Thanks, guys. I hit the restroom. I also had a few minutes to talk to one of the WWE merchandise guys. They have a couple of regulars that travel with the crew. So I spent a few minutes talking to him. He says, you need to go back to your seat. It's going to get better. Don't worry. And sure enough, as I was walking back to my seat, Legacy was charging the ring.
Okay.
The second half of the match was fairly well-paced because what was our principal complaint for the last two pay-per-views?
Slow matches.
That these things were slower than hell. These two, the only real slow spots were Cena's injury, which I missed. Cena going through the set. And Randy Orton trying to figure out how to play with the pyrotechnic panel.
I was waiting for a Big Bucks reference slammed somewhere in there.
I can't say no whammies, because he missed.
Yeah, he stopped on his own damn whammy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which pretty much describes this sound for Randy Orton when he tried to go for that and missed. What say you, Penn and Teller? If it plays.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, at the end of it all, there's about 10 seconds left. Cena's got the STF all clinched in tight.
Orton tap
with
6 seconds
to
go.
And that ends the match. Cena wins 6-5. Nobody got the point for the scores.
Right.
Cena.
Who in the what now? I did not hear the whole thing.
I didn't either.
You're the only one who picked Cena to get it right.
And there's my solace. Sure, I lost the title, but I got Cena right.
And let's take a look at the scores. In last place,
with the epic fail of 0,
which is just as bad as Alex Rodriguez has been these past two World Series games.
Fingers up.
Yes, I'm flipping you off, too, because we were 1-1, so don't give me that bullshit.
No, I'm not dissing the Yankees. I'm just dissing A-Rod.
Once he started,
I could care less if the Yankees win the World Series, just as A-Rod goes 0-29.
Excuse me, Seattle had a 115-game season when we kicked your ass. Next point.
Here's the thing, Jason. Forget one major thing.
Save it for my show.
I don't give a shit about the Seattle Mariners. That's the major important thing. Blast Seattle sports all you want. I don't care.
Save the sports for my show.
So, how about that wrestling?
Yeah, wrestling.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jason and Carl get epic fail, which results in this.
Whoa! I'll take it. I admit it, and I'll take it happily.
And a new record for futility,
which will never be beaten.
That's fine.
And points-wise, if we were going normally, next would be Nikki with 1, but we gave her the brownie point for 2, which ties her with Josh, Typho, and VRM.
Yeah.
So now, in a split of 3 and new champions, thank you, Josh. Actually, I'll just take half. You can give the other half to DJ when you see him for the next pay-per-view. Because he and him have 3, and we are awesome!
Yeah, there's a min.
Okay. But I need to say this. Even though my voice is shot to shit, I'm going to say it anyway. Our scores were tremendously horrible. Is that a point in WWE's favor for actually making this a little more unpredictable? Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep.
And this is my 5th win, so you know what this means, everybody?
5 times.
You don't get to win for the rest of the year.
No. Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a look. It's a new time.
But you didn't win it in a row. Therefore, you get no car.
No. I will just say this, though. This unpredictability also went into play the next night on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
In a big way.
Yes, how great was that promo delivered by Kofi Johnson? I mean, Kingston, Kofi Kingston.
Nashville card.
Gosh.
But, hey, look, the NASCAR guys were fine, but you want to know something, honestly? Kofi Kingston just made he just got, we say in the Mafia biz, he was a made man.
Yeah.
That was one of the strongest promos of the year. I liked what he did. I mean, it's ironic that you see a black man destroying a white man's car, and I say that jokingly.
Jason.
But, especially in Randy Orton's face, I forgive him.
Yeah, well, that's true. No, but I'm talking about the way they're portraying, you know, Kofi as a whole. But you want to know something? It was great. It was absolutely great. You know, oops, there's the key in this car. Oops, there's a bug on the windshield. Wham! You know?
I got it, Randy, I got it.
I'd like to bring up a video made by WrestleCraft Forum member Forgotten Sin, who made sort of a mashup between Kofi Kingston's promo they did for Randy Orton's car and a video maker who I quite enjoy, the Nostalgia Critic. The end of the video is pretty much effort!
honest to goodness effort
in actually bringing up Kofi's character like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really, really good stuff. I mean, it was just, it was fun. It felt real to me, you know? That promo felt, you know, good.
It was.
The show itself, yeah.
And before that, we had John Cena calling out the Baby Oil Boys Club.
Baby Oil?
And he even said Baby Oil.
Yes. And also, I like the fact that the opening promo with Big Show and Jericho, you know.
Yeah.
Jericho.
The caveat.
Nobody saw that one coming.
First of all, I loved it because Jericho was holding that trophy like his little teddy bear. That was spooky, you know. Look, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it reminds me back in 1998 when he first won that Cruiserweight title. The WCW Cruiserweight title, remember that one?
Yep.
No? Okay, moving on.
But it was just like, Show said, I didn't do it for Raw. I didn't do it for, you know, I didn't do it for you. Did it for me. Because I'm the number one contender, according to Teddy Long. Which was great. And Jericho was
and like, Jericho's
like,
what?
We have here a special comment from The Undertaker. Undertaker?
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Welcome.
I love that. And of course, Logano and Bush came in with the donuts, which was kind of cool. You know, car guy.
One complaint, though.
Yeah.
They didn't come out to the spark plug Bob Holly theme, which would have made it. No, I like Gimme Fuel, Gimme Fire, Gimme Total Child Desire, or however
yeah.
the hell
yeah,
you
fuel.
Say that.
Fuel by Metallica, yes.
Yeah, Fuel by Metallica. I would have loved it just for sheer camp value if they came out to spark plug Bob Holly's theme.
Would have been great. Uh-huh. Would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Only if they used his Titantron video, too.
I thought Kofi Kingston versus Chris Jericho was great. That was an awesome match. It was really good. Kofi got the 3 count, but then Randy Orton, in revenge for Kofi interfering in his championship match, pushed him
off. And the only reason he was doing it because he hates Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, there you go. And then we had a little, which we also had another fun thing, which was Jack Swagger and The Miz trying to out-dick themselves, you know, which was great. It was true, you know, because they were like, well, hey, I'm trying to pick up Eve, you know, and Miz comes in and was like, well, I'm the only one who actually won a match for my team, and he was just like, and then we had a horrible match between Melina and Santino Marella versus Chavo and Jillian Hall. Oof, that was pretty bad. Yes,
it was Hornswoggle and a cease and desist order,
which I could have done. I could have gone up in a suit. I could have taken a train to Buffalo, and you know. Got my $500, you know. I look good in a suit, don't I? Sort of.
It's been a while since I've seen your clips from Jeopardy on YouTube.
Yeah, anyway. But the season two. So Cena comes out and basically said that Cody and Ted are going to, you know, the whole, that, you know, Cena comes out and all that. That Cena promo was okay, you know. It was fine. And then Cody and, what was it? Mark Henry and Porter defeat Cody Rhodes.
Which causes Orton to come out.
And basically says, I should be the champ, you know, I'm entitled to a rematch and I'm coming to the board of directors. Then Kofi comes out and, wow, I basically was texting Nikki saying, great promo. I blew up her phone. Basically, on that one.
When he trashed the car, I think we were blowing up each other's phone.
Yeah.
Because all I had to type was Jamaican gone crazy.
Yes.
Mike Adamley would be so proud of you, too.
No, it was great. It was awesome. and he just made himself, and I hope Orton and Kingston have a good match. I really do.
And in between that, go ahead, Nick.
No, no, go ahead.
And now we had go to the main event. We'll skip forward for the rest of the matches, which was Evan Bourne getting a count-out win over The Miz, thanks to Jack Swagger.
Which was fun, by the way, which is going to set up a nice three-way for that, hopefully.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of concerned with the rules here, because since Evan Bourne did go over the rope, shouldn't the count have restarted?
No.
Nobody pays attention to that.
That's only used for convenience.
Yes, like the mandatory title defense every 30 days rule.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the main event, which is scheduled to be Big Show versus Triple H. But then Triple H talked to Joey Logano and Kurt Busch, made it a lumberjack match with every single member on Raw that Big Show dicked over.
Yeah, this was fun. I'm sorry.
And
special guest referee,
John Cena.
Yeah.
Now, John Cena broke a rule. If he's a wrestler referee, he's supposed to wear a sleeveless ref shirt. Batista overdid it and had a backless one.
Yes. Well,
he also forgot one thing, Nikki.
What's that?
Jazz hands. And also a killer WrestleCrap forum member Photoshop thread video to boot.
But then
Big Dave owes Mike Chioda $60 for that ref shirt.
Yeah. So then basically Big Show got taught a lesson by everybody.
Mm-hmm. Except Santino.
Santino tried to do the pump-up Cobra Fist Hand of Doom and basically got goozled for his trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Big Show got his trouble. And then, because Hornswoggle got his cease and desist order, he made a triple threat match for the championship. My logic button was just a little off. With Triple H and Shawn Michaels going against John Cena at Survivor Series.
He's just getting back at both of them and hoping that
Cena mops the floor of them.
No, he's expecting DX to blow up on each other.
Yeah.
Hunter's been a face for 3 years now. Look out.
It's time for some good news, bad news.
What's the bad news?
I got to give you the good news first.
What's the good news?
Wannabe Love is now gone from Raw.
Who is?
The theme song.
Okay, what's the good, what's the bad?
Oh, no.
The bad news? The new theme song is being done by a band worse than Papa Roach.
Kill me, please.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Nickelback.
Can we at least hear the song before you shit on it, please?
Let's see here.
I hate Marilyn Manson, but Beautiful People was a good SmackDown intro. I've never heard of Union Underground, and they had a Rob Zombie feel to their song.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of Papa Roach either.
It's called "Burn It to the Ground" is the name of the song.
Yeah.
I would like to hear it before I shit on it.
Okay.
Here, produce. Link me. Quack. That doesn't give me anything. I'm going to just send me a fucking link, okay? Sounds like static.
Sounds pretty good.
Can't hear it. All I hear is crap and static.
Okay.
Link me.
The name of the call is called Burn It to the Ground.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So it sounds pretty good.
I would like to hear it. I just, you know, Saddleman, let me just put you in on a little theory that somebody told me. Doesn't matter how much you hate the band. If you listen to enough of their songs, you're going to find one song you like. You
yes.
Go to a Marilyn Manson concert.
Three, don't like any of their songs.
All right. So we get to...
So your theory is shot.
Okay. We get.
Well, that's your problem.
Whoa. Okay. 15 minutes. Let's back to wrestling, please. Okay.
Let's talk about some future goblins.
All right.
No, there's one hosting the show. Go on.
Future Goblins indicates that we will be talking about the announced shift that just happened. Because of JR's Bell's palsy, he's gone for a while, and because his contract ends up in around mid-November, I think he's gone for good.
Which wouldn't surprise me.
Which would not surprise me. So we get an announced shift. The SmackDown goes Matt Stryker.
And Grisham, right?
Grisham, yeah, Grisham's on SmackDown. So on ECW Tuesday night, we have Josh Matthews, and Typho would know this person, FCW's Byron Saxton.
Typho?
Who me and Nikki talked about reminded us of, like, Stuart Scott on ESPN.
He's a great manager also.
Are you saying he's good?
I think he's good so far.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with him.
Me neither.
I've enjoyed his work with Dusty Rhodes and FCW. They made a good combo, and I think him and Matthews will work well together.
Now, is he going to play sort of more the heel guy, or is he going to be the – what is he going to play?
He's pretty much –
he likes Abraham Washington, so I'm assuming heel.
Yeah, he's kind of a heel. Like in FCW, when Abraham Washington comes out, he stands up and cheers. I'm hoping we get some of that on ECW, too.
Well, I heard ECW. Abraham Washington one fan.
Well, yeah, I heard ECW, the set got trashed this week.
Unfortunately, they didn't get to him.
Yeah, boo. But I heard Yoshitatsu and Christian had a really good match.
They did.
They did. And so did the latest Raw superstar. The one who uses SPF 573 sunblock, Sheamus.
Well, yeah, Sheamus went to Raw, which I don't get. I just don't get it.
I do.
What?
I do.
Him and Triple H are buddies, that's why.
Exactly.
Is that true, for real?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. They train together. So Triple H wanted his road training buddy with him, I guess.
Sean must be jealous.
No, don't worry, Nikki. Sean's road training buddy is going to be called up, I think, next week to ECW.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Kenny?
It's the final countdown!
Oh, Brian Danielson?
Yep.
You're serious. Danielson's getting called up next week.
Yeah, because I think in his contract, he skips developmental.
I figured that. I just didn't know if they were gonna wait till after Survivor Series or what they were gonna do, because
it's the perfect build, to be honest with you, and I'll explain why. You could have a classic Survivor Series match right now. You have Christian, Yoshitatsu, Tommy Dreamer, and Zack Ryder versus Regal's Pit of Terror and Brian Danielson. You build up Brian Danielson as this no nonsense, take no names, sort of like mentor to William Regal. Because Regal comes out, he gets his ass kicked by Christian in a match. Non title, of course. Tiffany's trying to size him up. Christian's getting ready to go for the kill switch. Danielson comes out, and he stares at William Regal. Those two have history, remember that. And then just clobbers Christian, gives him the elbows, gives him his stiff lariats and clotheslines, give him the horrific European uppercuts, and just beats him down. So Regal is looking at Danielson. He says, "You've learned." They shake hands. Yoshitatsu comes out, but he's jumped from the Monster Squad from Kozlov and Ezekiel Jackson. those four hold their hands up, and then you have your full-blown four-man stable of Regal, Monster Squad, Bryan Danielson.
Not bad. Let's see if they do it.
I'll believe it when I see it, because WWE doesn't like using outside league history.
But, but like I said, ECW has been really good with the farm and the developmental. They've been consistently good over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
with a couple of hiccups, to be honest.
Well,
yeah.
But the wrestling's been good overall.
Oh, yeah. I'm not disputing that.
Speaking of another debut, we had another very good week with Desmond Wolfe taking out Kurt Angle. Good
Further
job.
Proof that Ring of Honor knows how to build stars.
Pretty much. And we also had, let's see, we had, who attacked AJ Styles? Was it Daniels? Was it Joe? And by the way, Joe was great in his promos, if you saw
him. Oh, yeah.
He was
by the way, there is a spoiler alert for who jumped AJ Styles. The person who jumped AJ Styles is none other than...
Oh, that was funny. Oh, yeah.
It's T.L. Hopper?
That's right! Typho, it is T.L. Hopper!
Yes.
What?
Did AJ Styles mess with old Betsy?
Yep.
Got jumped in brown swirled.
To be perfectly honest, it's not him. It's somebody else who AJ has history with. And we'll find out more about that next week.
Aww.
But again, there was some great wrestling. Dr. Stevie got his butt kicked. Had to have happened with Abyss. And then Abyss gets saved by Mick Foley. Okay.
Scott Steiner had a pretty sweet shirt.
Let's see. What was, Superman. And also the World Elite had those bitchin' tracksuits.
It looked like they were selling Xboxes.
Bitching, you say?
Bitching.
No.
Well, they were all right. Well, Eric Young was. He had the mic.
Yeah, he had surgery on his throat this week.
Yeah, but he's perfectly all right, and he's going to be at the next set of tapings.
Yeah, but but again, Impact has been really good over the last few weeks.
Yep.
Well, we shall see what happens.
You also forget one part about that Eric Young World Elite thing.
Which was?
Legend Seidel is dead.
Oh, yes, the global, what was it, the global international title or something like that?
The global championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two rules. One, defended only outside the United States. Two, only can be won by somebody non-American.
Oh, boy.
Nah, won't last long.
No.
Not until Turning Point, Kevin Nash is going to take it back. Because they pissed off Kevin Nash.
What country is Fire Island in?
Fire Island? Oh,
make it its own country, and Kevin Nash is not American anymore.
There you go.
Now, I guess they just need to shut him up after he blew up about Saban getting hurt. I don't understand why he got mad.
I mean, Saban got dropped on his head. Yes.
It happened. He did not do anything for the rest of the match. He rolled to the corner and tagged Shelly in, and Shelly finished the match.
He didn't even roll to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, after that hit, Saban didn't do anything else. What the hell was Nash's problem?
Well, the thing was, he was out in the middle of the ring. The refs weren't doing a damn thing. He was trying to yell at him, "Roll them to the other side of the ring, you fools!"
I think
caused a big scene, and he's suspended for the next set of tapings.
Who is Nash?
Nash.
good. Because he had no beef.
Oh, he's got beef, all right, because him, Saban, and Shelly, they're tight.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect from Paparazzi Productions?
Yep.
I just think Nash overreacted from what I saw. So he deserves a suspension.
Yeah. However, another interesting development is the dynamic between Amazing Red, Don West, and Homicide.
Oh, that was fun, yes. Homicide.
Don West got jacked by Homicide.
Yes, he did.
His driver's license, and it looks like only $60, so pretty much means that he's not even getting paid by DNA. But then again, who is?
Oh, Hogan.
It's a credit card.
It's Spike TV's money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Spike TV's money, not DNA's money.
And all that money went to Hogan, so yeah. Nobody's getting paid.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the big thing on SmackDown, since Raw had a triple threat, SmackDown has a triple threat. The main event for Survivor Series will be Big Show versus Undertaker versus Chris Jericho. Ironic that you have two tag teams with partners fighting against the world champ.
And for that match, the dynamic takes a shift because you have heel, face, and the rarely done fourth stage. You know, you have heel, face, tweener. You also have outsider.
Okay.
Somebody who is outside the organization who wants something big. And since Big Show is technically an outsider due to the brand split, he wants the bout. He'll take it back to Raw. And he'll work all three shows. Or, you know, pretty much all both shows, Raw and SmackDown. And with that pretty much said, we only have a couple minutes left to go. And since this is Halloween, ladies and gentlemen, just stay safe out there. If you're going to a party, drink responsibly. If you're going trick-or-treating, take flashlights and check every piece of candy that the young ones might get.
Because a lot of people aren't as good as you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for cars trying to run you down, according to Roddy Piper.
Yes, because everybody loves that episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
And don't skimp on the toilet paper, eggs, or cabbage.
Or shaving cream. And of course, you know what you say when you ring the doorbell. Give me candy. Now.
I'm going to go find the mercy ad with Pete Rose and the trick-or-treaters.
I hear if you visit Tim Donaghy, he gives you a free unreleased copy of his book.
He'll send you a jersey.
What's it called? How I Screwed the Mavericks Out of a Championship?
But seriously, guys, just stay safe, be cool, and we want to see you back here next week.
Right.
Yes, because we need the ratings. we're getting beat by a weekly review of Pound Puppies.
Oh God.
Rerun,
damn it.
Please tell me we're getting more than wrestle crap.
Kayfabe wise or real ratings wise?
Kayfabe. Come on.
Always kayfabe.
Oh, sure. We're getting more kayfabe than wrestle crap. Because we have 13 listeners rather than 12.
Yeah.
Because Damien Demento listens to us.
Oh.
Yeah. Sadly, if he's listening to this show, since we are pro wrestle crap, he'll probably come after us next.
Yeah.
Bring it, you untalented pile of shit.
To believe you main evented the first event night on Raw, and then faded into virtual obscurity.
Which The Undertaker also has something to say.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
You've done it now. You've gone and made a big mistake, or whatever the hell it is.
Yes, pretty soon he'll challenge us to a singing competition.
And I beat his ass stupid.
I better work on my Genesis music. Because Jesus, he knows me, and he says good night.
Good night, guys. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I guess we truly are living in a land of confusion.
Thank you, Phil.
Where we live in. Meet on the stage we're given. Good night.
Good night.